Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
40 years, 90,000 hours, 6 different companies, about 1 million different paths to take, and that is the average working life here in the city. 90,000 hours, and so especially as we embark on a career like that, on a working life, there is just so much potential, huge pressure. And back in 2017, I was here in the city without a job, looking for something to do, and I knew I wanted to work in insurance, and so I was interviewing for kind of junior insurance jobs. And I just thought, the city doesn't know what's about to hit it. I was so ambitious as I came into the city, and I think I was a bit too influenced by Hollywood, because I remember going into the Botolf building, which is a big blue one on Aldgate, to meet this guy for a coffee who had very kindly agreed to have a little coffee with me and maybe like a little interview. It might have been an interview. And so I stood in the room waiting for him to come in. I thought what I'll do is I'll stand looking out the window, standing up, so that when he comes in the door, I can turn round and greet him and shake his hand and kind of be in a position of dominance. And so I did that in the room, and he quickly told me to sit down. And then he looked me up and down, and I regretted my choice of a blue suit and blue suede shoes, and I left without a job. I was so ambitious. And I guess in some ways, most of us, maybe a few of us, but I would guess most of us in some way at least are quite ambitious. In interviews, they ask us questions like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And you can tell a lot about someone by the answer to that question. You could tell a lot about me by the answer to that question. The honest answer back in 2017 when I was asked that question would be something like, well, as senior as possible, making as much money as possible. Certainly more senior than you. What I actually said, of course, was something like, well, I'm just here to be a team player and to make the most of any progression opportunities that present themselves. But no wonder I was ambitious, because I think my whole upbringing and my schooling taught me to be ambitious, take full advantage, make the most of every opportunity, be ambitious. I sat down with a colleague recently who had started at the firm. I was getting to know this colleague, and the colleague said to me, what you need to know about me is that I'm really ambitious. That's not just me. Lots of people, very ambitious. I mean, in the words of Jesus, if you look at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, anxious about your life, what you'll eat or drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Don't be anxious about your life, Jesus says. I think I probably was. I was anxious about my life. That's why I was so ambitious, because I think, and here's the reason I think I was so ambitious, is I had signed my future self up for a certain level of lifestyle that I now had to achieve. It was all about what I will eat, what I'll drink, about my body, what I'll put on. Of course, the things addressed in these passages, in this passage from Jesus as he speaks to this crowd, are to a subsistence culture where the food that you eat that night is caught during the day, so it's the bare necessities of life. But we have added a huge amount of stuff onto that. I picked up the Sunday Times. I never read the Sunday Times. I bought a copy of the Sunday Times just for you. And this was the supplement, so I wanted to see what was in it. And it's all about the body. How we feed it, how we clothe it, how we warm it, how we cool it, how we refresh it, how we entertain it, how we drive it, how we house it. All of the stuff in the Sunday supplements, all about the body. And then, oh, this little red thing, the bit of paper that binds these together, is from Eon telling us to do our bit for the climate. So much to be anxious about, so much to worry about. So our culture says, if you want identity, if you want security, then what you need is all of this stuff. And so life turns into a life of what ifs. It's a life of what ifs. What if I don't ever get promoted and everyone advances ahead of me? What if I don't have anything impressive to say at the school reunion? What if I choose to do church work despite the fact that my parents really want me to get quite a high-paying job in the City of London? And also, what ifs about my security? What if I lose my job? What if the recession hits just after I've closed on my new house? What if that lump turns out to be more than a lump? Have you heard this poem about the worrying cow? It's a little poem. The worry cow would have lived till now if she hadn't lost her breath, but she thought her hay wouldn't last all day, so she mooed herself to death. Ambition, driven by anxiety. And the anxiety just doesn't seem to go away, because the more stuff we have, and this seems to be so true, the more stuff we have, the more anxious we are about losing it. We are the most prosperous society ever to have lived. And yet we seem also to be the most anxious. And we don't seem to have a very good antidote, a very good answer to all of this anxiety. People say a lot, don't they? Don't worry. Don't worry. And I reckon most of the time when people say that, there's nothing really behind it. When people tell you not to worry, it's probably because at that moment there is a massive reason to have quite a lot of worry. That's why they say don't worry. A couple of weeks ago, I was on holiday and I was kayaking with a 9-year-old in my family called Harvey. And we were about 50 yards from the place where the car was parked, so we could put the kayak in the car and go home. And he said, "Can I jump in and swim to the shore?" I was like, "But you want to jump in and swim to the shore?" "Yeah, that's fine. Jump in, swim to the shore." So he jumped in and then started thrashing his arms around, and he looked like he was in some trouble, kind of like he was drowning. So I paddled over to him and I pulled him into the boat, and I said, "Harvey, what's that all about? What's that? What's going on? You were going to swim to the shore?" He said, "Yeah, well, I can't actually swim." And meanwhile, while he was in the water, I was saying, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't panic." Actually, in that moment for Harvey, that 9-year-old, there was good reason to panic. All I could say was, "Don't worry." But what he really needed was my arm to drag him out of the water and back into the kayak. And we have actually paid for swimming lessons for him this year. What we hear is, "Don't worry." And it's not just for the 9-year-old thrashing about in the water. It's all the professional coaching advice as well. There's a guy who writes quite a lot of stuff for the coaching of CEOs. And he says this about anxious thoughts. He says, "Think of your thoughts and emotions as trains coming in and out of a station. Watch them arrive and depart without detachment. Imagine saying, 'Hello, anxiety. See you later, fear.'" It's nicely put, but it's exactly the same thing as, "Don't worry." And there's no reason behind it not to worry. It's just a nice saying, "Don't worry." Whereas it's different with Jesus. And that's really good news this lunchtime. Because Jesus says, actually, anxiety, and this is quite strong, anxiety is incompatible with Christian faith. They don't fit together. Now, at this point, I just need to say a small caveat, because some of us will suffer from an experience of anxiety that doesn't seem to be dependent on any of life's circumstances sometimes. It's just a feeling of anxiety that never goes away. That kind of ruins quite a lot of the joy of life. And I don't think Jesus is saying here that that feeling, that suffering with persistent anxiety, invalidates our faith. That's not why Jesus is writing this. And we should go and seek medical help if that's necessary. He's just giving us this solid reason why we don't need to worry. And so I hope whether we feel really anxious, or maybe today, honestly, you're like, well, I don't feel very anxious. Whichever we are, I hope that we will know that we don't need to be anxious. And maybe that will change our ambitions. But here's the big reason, really, and it's on your sheets. Don't be anxious because you have a heavenly Father. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, nor what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I think we know the answer to that question. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Well, yeah, it is. It's quite a lot more than those things. And the idea is if God can make me and he can make you and he can give us life that we live on this earth, surely he can take care of our needs. I heard somebody put it like buying a brand new Mercedes and a chauffeur to drive it, and then it sits in the garage because you won't fill the tank. If we can do the big thing, we can keep it going. And just in case we don't believe Jesus, he gives us two examples. And this is the verse of the Bible that makes the Christians who like bird watching really smug, because Jesus commands bird watching. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I'm just getting into bird watching. There's a guy at work that's getting me into it, and he's lent me his massive spotting scope. So I've been doing a bit of bird watching recently. But you don't need to be a bird watcher to know that tawny owls don't drive tractors, and finches don't have wall planners, and black egrets don't build barns. Malachite kingfishers don't have monzo. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The birds do work. This isn't license that we just sit around because God is going to magic up some food for us every day. But they don't worry. They don't have anxiety because God will provide for their needs. And Jesus says, how much more valuable are you? There's another poem. I like this one a bit better than the cow one. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Don't be anxious, Jesus says. You have a heavenly Father who provides. And worrying, actually, can't really do anything. Worrying can't feed me or sustain me. I think that's the point Jesus makes next. See verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Worrying is often what we turn to, the intense periods of worrying about something or other. And yet Jesus says it can't add an hour to our span of life. I tried to work it out earlier and I failed. But I think an hour divided by the number of hours in our life is something like 0.00034%. We can't add 0.00034% to our span of life by worrying. We don't need to worry. Now, from bird watching, Jesus asks us to consider the lilies that the crowd listening to him on that mountainside probably walked straight past on their way up the mountainside to listen to this sermon. Look at verse 28. Jesus says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, it's that game of how much more. Solomon, the great king, dressed incredibly well, had nothing on these lilies that are in the field. And the lilies last only a short while. So Jesus says, how much more is God going to clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. It's a game of how much more. How much more If we have a Heavenly Father, don't we need to worry? So that's the reason Jesus gives us not to be anxious. You have a Heavenly Father. And I wonder, the next time we feel anxious about something, maybe we're anxious right now, the thing to do is probably to see if we can see a bird. See if you can see a bird somewhere. Or if not, see if you can see a flower. And be reminded that if God feeds the bird and clothes that flower like that, how much more does he care about me? How much more will he meet my needs? So I don't need to worry. And worrying is not going to help me anyway in this situation. I don't need to be anxious because God is my Heavenly Father. Now, it might go unsaid, but I don't want it to go unsaid. We must ask, is this how we relate to God? Is God for me a Heavenly Father? J.I. Packer said this when he wrote a book. He said, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child and having God as their father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, then it means that he doesn't understand Christianity very well at all. Anyone can come to God and relate to him as Heavenly Father, even those, like Jesus is addressing, with little faith. Don't need much. And the way to do it, Jesus has just told us in the beginning of chapter 6 how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, to relate to God as Father. And we can pray that prayer if we want to relate to God as Father and start this relationship with him in our lives. And it means, of course, that we don't need to be anxious. That's the main thing here, that we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to worry about all this stuff that the Sunday supplements tell you and me that we must worry about and spend all our money on. And so my life, this is so wonderful, my life can no longer be a life of what ifs, but a life of even ifs. Even if I don't get promoted above my friends, even if I've got nothing to say at the school reunion, even if I do choose church work despite my parents' ambitions for me to go and earn a lot of money, even if, well, I've got a Heavenly Father who knows my needs and he cares so much about me, I'm his child. And what about those even the what ifs about our security? What if I lose my job, the recession, the house prices? Even if those things, I've got a Heavenly Father who will give me what I need. I don't need to be anxious. Look at the birds and the lilies. I'm way more valuable to him than them. I have to say, this completely changed my outlook back in 2017 when I was starting work and I was looking for that job in the city. Before I'd been offered a job, I was coming to these Tuesday lunchtime talks, really, because I thought I might meet some gullible Christian here who'd give me a job. Of course, that didn't happen. But I did sit down with a guy, and we're now good friends, and we sat just around there on a table after the talk, and I sat down with him, and I told him my career ambitions, and I was hoping for some career tips, and I think I brought my CV along, and I asked him to look at it. And all he said to me was, and it really stuck with me, all he said to me, I don't know exactly the wording he used, but he said, Ali, the Lord will provide. Don't worry. That is what he said to me. He said to me, Matthew 6, he said to me this, what Jesus is saying to us this lunchtime, had such an effect on me. And I have to say, it did actually change my ambition. I think almost immediately, I just became less ambitious for the high career that I thought I was seeking. And I really believed that. Yeah, God will look after me. I'll just trust the Lord. Massive impact. And I wonder whether when we talk to each other about our career ambitions and how our job's going and when we're going to get the next promotion and how brilliant the new salary is, maybe we could be a bit better about saying to each other, that's great. It's great that the Lord has given us way more than we need, but the Lord will provide. We can trust him. We don't need to be anxious. He's our Heavenly Father. But then what about my ambition? So still, I'm an ambitious person. I guess quite a lot of you are too. That's why we're in EC3. What about my ambition? If I don't need to chase this certain lifestyle because God is taking care of me, is there even a place for ambition among us? Well, what is the Christian's answer to this question? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's the godly answer to that question when we're asked it? Well, Jesus says, thankfully, there is something to be really, really ambitious about. It's in verses 31 to 33. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see there are two groups of people in those verses. And the first is the Gentiles, that's the unbelievers. And Jesus says about them, of course, they're worrying about what they'll eat and what they'll drink and the clothes they'll wear. They're seeking after all those things because they don't have a heavenly Father. You ask that person, you ask the Gentile, where do you see yourself in 5 years? They go, where do I even start with that answer? There are a million things to sort out. Family issues, health issues. I'm about to get a bigger mortgage. I need at least 2 promotions just to service that. That makes me so anxious. And then they read their anxiety book and it tells them to think of anxious thoughts as trains coming in and out of a station. And we think in London, there's nothing to make you more stressed than thinking about trains. But not for those who have a heavenly Father. Because ambition for food and drink and status and money and just add whatever you want to that list, ambition for those things among the followers of Jesus is such an inadequate one. It's such an inadequate ambition for the follower of Jesus Christ. Because of that second group, Jesus is speaking to us, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I've got my 40 years, God willing. I've got my 90,000 hours at work. But it's all of life as well, of course. And what matters most in all of it, I've got to keep telling myself this, are the concerns of my relationship with God and where I'll spend eternity and who is going to be there with me. Jesus says, be ambitious about that. That's what to be ambitious about. And don't worry about your needs. The Heavenly Father will meet your needs. All these things will be added to you. I think, verse 33 says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you might lose quite a lot of those things. That's often what I think Jesus is saying. Just not what he's saying. I need to believe this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. No cause for anxiety. I did put on the sheets a couple of discussion questions. And the last one is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I don't know what the answer is to that. It might be interesting to think it through for you, based off this talk, what it means. That's that. Don't be anxious. You have a heavenly Father, so have a heavenly ambition. And then Jesus ends with verse 34. And I'm a bit surprised by this. I don't really know why he ends with verse 34. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've just been talking about eternal kingdom. And this just seems a bit unspiritual. I don't know what you thought as we read that verse, as Jesus ends with it. And I wonder whether that's the point. Jesus says this at the end, just to ground us in the everyday. Where does this heavenly ambition for God's kingdom and his righteousness really find its home applied in my life? Well, Jesus says tomorrow, well, the morning will arrive with its fair share of trouble, and the day after that, and the day after that. And there'll be all sorts of things that we might want to worry about. And it's in those ordinary troubles of everyday life where this heavenly thinking, as God as my Father, and my ambition for the heavenly realities finds its home. Whatever's going on, I don't need to be anxious because I have a heavenly Father. It'd be a wonderful thing if each of us could say deep down, the thing you need to know about me is I'm really ambitious. I'm really ambitious for God's kingdom and his righteousness. Allow me to close us with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can relate to you as Father, and that you're not a heavenly Father who is unable to provide for our needs. We thank you for the Lord Jesus showing us this. And we pray we'd be those who always relate to you as our Heavenly Father and look to you, and that we'd be ambitious for the things that really matter, for God's kingdom and his righteousness, in the knowledge that all these things will be given to us as well, so we don't need to worry. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.